Thank you so much. John chapter number 20, if you would please. John chapter number 20. As we get ready for missions conference, I want to look at just one verse this morning from this text, and then we'll look at a number of passages around the New Testament. John chapter 20 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." As my Father hath sent. The idea is to order one to go to a place appointed. Even so, in like manner, send. To bind a thing or to bid a thing to be carried out by one. I, you. We sometimes look at words in Scripture and just kind of go over them quickly. Matter of fact, if we're not careful, our tendency is to take a passage like this that we've heard in connection to missions all kinds of times and just quickly go over it. But when Jesus says these words, "As my Father hath sent me," from the portals of heaven, away from comforts, out of his normal environment, into a world of ridicule, to ultimately be killed on a cross of Calvary, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." David Brainerd said these words, "Here am I, send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort on earth. Send me even to death itself, if it be but in thy service and to promote thy kingdom." Wow. You must understand what it means to be sent and be willing to be sent. Now, that's interesting. Sometimes we think these verses intend for those people who are going to California, or they're going to Australia, or they're going to South America, or they're going to, you name it, someplace other than here. But the fact is, the Great Commission started at home. And then from there it went to other places. And yes, there are going to be people who are called to go to other places, but God also calls us right here to do what he wants us to do. So what are some things that Jesus experienced as he came to earth that might be what we have to experience if we're going to be called to be sent as he was sent? Let's look at a number of these this morning. First off, I want us to see that he experienced solitude. In other words, he had to spend quite a lot of time alone. Just with he and his heavenly Father. In Matthew 14 and verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." John 6 and verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a place, into a mountain himself alone." John 8 and verse 29, "He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." In other words, there were times when all Jesus had was the Father. And there will be times when God has asked us to do something and we will feel all alone. We will feel ostracized from family. We will feel ostracized from friends, from that which we think is comfortable. John 6 and verse 32, the Bible says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." The Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life, says that, "At my first answer, nobody stood with me." Nobody stood with me. That solitude also can mean that we give up that which we think is pleasurable. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and following, Jesus makes it clear, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first and bid farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 14 and verse 25 and 26, And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Those are harsh words, aren't they? Those are difficult words. But there are times when this coming to earth for Jesus meant he walked away from absolutely everything that he knew. For us, it doesn't seem so bad to be human. That's all you've ever been. But that's not all he's ever been. And to be robed in human flesh simply because he came to redeem us. The second verse of the song, So Send I You, it says, So send I you to loneliness and longing, with a heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking kin and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. Can I ask you, when's the last time you just got alone with God? Just you and God. No other distractions. That's kind of hard to do today, isn't it? To put it all down. When's the last time you felt alone for the cause of Christ? Does it cost you something to stand for God? As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Sometimes that means solitude. But number two, that will mean service. It'll mean service. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17 says, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? Do you call me Master and Lord? And ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Jesus said, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. This story always just causes my mind to kind of be boggled. Here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, that spoke in the stars and the sky and the animals and the uniquenesses of all, every one of them. And he just starts studying some of this and the intricacies and all that we know about our God. It is him that bends down and washes the feet of the disciples. The feet of the disciples that the disciples thought they were too good to do. Because, by the way, they all had to pass that little basin on the way in. It was impossible to miss, because generally there was a servant there to wash your feet. But as they passed through, not me. No, you don't understand. I'm one of the 12. I'm not about to do that. I'd rather go to the table with dirty feet than to wash feet. And you say, well, Pastor, you're kind of making that up. Well, no, I'm not. The Bible tells us in another passage of Scripture that it was at the table that they argued, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, I'll show you. washed their feet. Don't forget he washed Judas' feet too. It's going to include servitude. This is not the first lesson he's given them of that. In Matthew chapter 20, he talks about Gentiles exercising dominion over them and so forth. And he says, but it shall not be once named among you. In Luke 22 and verse 27, he says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Wow. God washing feet. God serving creation. Creator serving creation. Creator that could tell you what every little bone in that foot is designed for and why it was put there and why it was put in that specific location and why there's this much flesh around that and why there's tendons connected to it. Things that we're yet to totally discover. Him washing feet. Philippians 2, 6 through 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to death, the death of the cross. In other words, he was so willing to serve that he was willing to die for you and I. What a servant. I love the statement that Ken Collier says often, he with the dirtiest towel wins. He with the dirtiest towel wins. But we live in a society today at large, and if we're not careful, we're just as guilty that we're not serving nobody. Are you kidding me? No, that's why you find buggies sitting in the middle of the parking lot. They can't even take it to the... I know some of you don't call it a buggy. It's a little thing you put groceries in for you Yankees. Okay, it's called a buggy, all right? You can't even put those in the right locations anymore, right? It's like, why? Because it would be inconvenient to you. That's why. See, we can't even serve in little bitty ways that way. Verse 1 of that same song, so send I you. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, over wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. How's your towel today? How's your towel today? See, when Paul writes the book of Philippians and tells them that they are to serve each other, they might think they could pull a trump card until Paul's example is Jesus. See, when Jesus sits before his disciples and tells them to serve others, they might think they could pull a trump card until they realize that Jesus himself was serving. And then it's like, who can look at Jesus and say, I don't deserve to serve anybody? We can never do that. So send I you. Even as the Father has sent me, so send I you to solitude, yes. To service, yes. Number 3, to soul seeking, yes. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am chief, he says. Soul seeking. And aren't you glad that he sought you? you. When Jesus was here, he sought those that nobody else would seek. He needed to go to Samaria, out of his way, if you will, into a place that nobody went, because there was a lady there that needed to hear the message of salvation. And there was a city there that needed to hear the glorious truth that he had come to redeem them. Yes, redeem a woman of ill repute. Yes, to redeem her. To redeem a city the disciples spent time in and never saw. Yes. To see the woman in which was demon possessed. To see the man that was crazy with demons cutting himself. It was those kinds of people that Jesus came to. But he wasn't just to those. It's easy to look at those and see the transformation. But he also came to the Nicodemuses, educated, wise, religious. Jesus came to all of them. Because see, it matters not what your pedigree is. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what your status may be. The fact is, every single one of us come to the foot of the cross in need of a Savior, because every single one of us are sinners. There's not a person that's immune from that. Verse 3 of the song. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. Are you seeking sinners to share God's word? Hey, there are people in Kings Mountain need the gospel. Miss Colleen, would you have 140 students in your first class, 120? That many registered for her Bible club? Little kids that'll get the gospel right here in Kings Mountain, and they need it. Are we soul-seeking? That's why Jesus came. Listen, I've said this before, but this is so true. Jesus didn't come primarily to deal with social issues, though he dealt with social issues. He came because people needed a Savior. Jesus didn't come primarily to deal with political issues, though he dealt with political issues. He came because people needed a Savior. Jesus didn't primarily come to deal with people's physical needs, though he dealt with their physical needs. People needed a Savior. Because see, Lazarus would die again. So would Jairus' daughter die again. But they'd live forever in a place called heaven if they repent and trust him as their Savior. Soul-seeking. For we probably could wrap all these up into this very one, but so send I you to sacrifice. To sacrifice. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Same sentiments are said over and over and over again in the New Testament, as Jesus repeatedly tells us that if you clamor to save your life, you will actually lose it. But if you'll give it up, you'll save it. John 12, verse 23, and following, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. Sacrifice. Yes. I don't know what Faith Promise is going to be. But somewhere in the neighborhood of this year, we're going to give somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000. I can tell you that just about everybody in this room that gives sacrificially to Faith Promise could use that money somewhere else. That's what sacrifice is about. And the truth is, it really is a fairly little sacrifice for us. I mean, in the big picture, it really is. Verse 1 of the song. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. C.T. Studd said this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for Him. David Livingston said, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? Because even though we call it a sacrifice, in the real big picture of thing, it's really not a sacrifice, is it? Can I ask you this? Where'd you get your money from? Like, well, 10% of it belongs to God. Ho, 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 ho. 100% belongs to God. That's the deal. Everything you own belongs to God. Everything. You're like, well, I mean, I worked hard. With what? Your mind that you got from God. With breath that you got from God. With hands and feet and legs that you got from God. With, you just start naming it. Do you know what we are without Him? Nothing. Nothing. We don't even have the ability to breathe on our own if He decides for us to be done. It all belongs to Him. What have you sacrificed for the advancement of the gospel? Are you praying about faith promise? I don't know about you, but I always come to this year and think, man, how do we approach this? Because there's so many needs. There's so much out there that could be done. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. To number 5, to satisfaction. See, ultimately, our Lord understood that it was the joy of the cross. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Most of us don't look to the cross and the beatings and the torture and the humiliation and think joy. But see, it wasn't just the cross that Jesus was looking at. It was the redeemed throughout ages that He was looking at. Who for the joy that was set before Him? In Luke 10 and verse 19 and 20, He says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Woo! Wow, that's pretty cool, wouldn't it? But notice what Jesus says, notwithstanding, at this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jeremiah 9 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Verse 23 and following, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the God which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We get to know Him. Just let that sink in a little bit. When you sit down before a table of food and you bow your head and you pray and thank Him for the food, who are you talking to? The King of Glory. You get to just walk into His very presence. Good morning, Lord. Just want to talk to you today. What an incredible privilege. The satisfaction of knowing that you've done what God wanted you to do. Paul could say in 2 Timothy 4 and following, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. See, this satisfaction may not be what the world likes. It may not be accolades from a world standpoint. No one may make a big deal over your funeral. You may not be buried in a gold casket, but are you satisfied with God? Are you satisfied that He's keeping track of everything? I've told my wife, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I mean this sincerely. If they will let you put me in a pine box in the backyard, do it. If you can do it for $200 or $300 instead of $10,000, send the $10,000 to a church in Africa somewhere and let the church be planted. That's far better than... Listen, if you don't know by now that she loves me, a casket ain't going to help. Now, please understand, I'm not being disrespectful of people who want a nice... I'm not doing that. But listen, it's all going to rot anyway. It's just going to rot. I want to tell you, you send that money overseas or send kids to camp or help some kid go through Bible college, that's worth it. That's eternal. By the way, don't buy me any flowers. I love flowers. You guys know that. But don't buy me flowers. I don't know they're there. So give the money to somebody. Send a kid to camp or do something else like that worthwhile. And if you want to buy your relatives flowers, please. I am not criticizing that. You're welcome. I'm talking about me, okay? Are you satisfied with God and His rewards? Did Jesus fulfill every one of these? Well, we know He did. We know He had solitude when He said on the cross, "Why have you forsaken me? God, you turned your back on me as I bear the sins of the whole world." Service? Yes. Even unto death, the death of the cross. Soul seeking? Yes. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Sacrifice? Yes. Hebrews 10 and verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Satisfaction? Yes. "For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind." Who for the joy that was set before Him? Yes. Satisfaction. "So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking kin and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die, to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mind. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." This was penned by a young African pastor in Zimbabwe. "I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth needs, colorless dreams, tamed visions, Monday talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, platitudes, or popularity. I don't have to be right, or first, or tops, or recognized, or praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by His patience, lift by prayer, labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, work until He comes. And when He comes for His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. They found it on His body after He had been martyred for the cause of Christ. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Even so send I you. These are powerful words. And they're not just to the missionaries who are here this morning or will be here this week. They're for every single person in this room. May we allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. Father, thank you for allowing us to be one of the redeemed. Oh God, we don't deserve that. We have such wicked hearts. To be known at all, that anything even close to you and your suffering and your Calvary is beyond what we deserve. But Lord, you've asked us to go in your authority. The way that you were sent, you've commanded us to be sent. Thank you for those through the ages that have literally poured out their blood for you. In many of their minds, if not all of them, it was a small sacrifice to pay for your cause. May we be willing to be poured out for you today. If you could leave heaven's portals, stoop to become a man, robed in flesh, walk this dusty earth, die on a cruel cross because I'm a sinner, then certainly I can live for you. Oh God, please help us to do that. May we no longer be lukewarm, but be burning with passion to do what you want us to do. How we need you. Would you work now and in this week as we move into missions conference? Would our hearts be stewarded to all that's needed in the world? And we'll thank you. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Can I ask you, are you willing to be sent? I'm not asking if you're willing to be sent across the ocean. I'm just asking you, are you willing to be sent right here? Are you willing to be sacrificial for what you can do, what God has asked you to do? As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Would you allow God to work this morning? Listen, we can't walk out unchanged. We must allow ourselves to be stirred. Would you quietly stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? They're going to begin to play. I want to ask you to come to the front, kneel here, sit where you're at and beg God to work. Begging to work in your own heart, to stir you. Begging to make you passionate about the truth of the Word of God. If He can be sent, how dare we say we can't be?
God's still working. Would you take your hymnals and turn to 531? Is that right, Brother Steve? 531. I want us to sing this with the truth of Scripture backing it. Let these words sink deep into our heart as we think about them. 531. Brother Steve, you come in.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend the which be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.
What a privilege that we get to be a part of that. Well, now we go to a little more mundane things, but do have some committee meetings around in various places. If you need to know where those are meeting, then please see me. We have two of them next door, one here, one in that building over there. But if we'd love to have some more of you be involved in some of these things, or some of these committees that are pretty overworked in some areas and they could really use some help. So if you'd like to plug into one of those, we'd love to do that. Jackie and his family will be here. Go by and greet them, thank them for being in our place as well. And we're so grateful for those things. Yes, sir.
I need save me a lot of work. I need a bunch of fellas to help me take boxes from Steve's office to my van. And my van is right outside the brick building. Won't take a moment if a lot of you come.
Good. College guys, that'd be a great, great job for you. All right. Okay, let's ask the Lord to dismiss us. And then we'll go. Brother John Sousa, would you close us in prayer, please, sir?